the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, July the 31st, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Jury selection to begin today in the trial of former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort. Also on the Tuesday rundown, against all odds, in the Sunshine State, Obamacare is working. Plus, time may be running out for Northwest orcas. Topping our news, jury selection begins today in the federal court trial of Paul Manafort, a former chairman of the Donald Trump presidential campaign. AOL reports it's the first case brought by special counsel Robert Mueller to go before a jury. The charges do not involve Manafort's time with Trump. Instead, they stem from Manafort's work for a Russian-backed government of Ukraine and an ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin. AOL notes if Manafort is convicted, prosecutors would have powerful leverage for attempting to compel his testimony before a grand jury about whether he knows of any improper dealings between the Trump campaign and the Russians. The Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, has managed to weather the storm despite ongoing attempts by President Donald Trump to dismantle his predecessor's landmark achievement. Tramell Gomes explains.
The latest attempt to chip away at the law includes an announcement by the Trump administration that it would temporarily halt what's known as risk adjustment payments, which some say could lead to rising premiums. But even as Republicans continue to poke holes in the law, analysts say the individual marketplace has reached a fragile balance. Karen Egozi with the Epilepsy Foundation of Florida says one of the key parts of the healthcare law was not leaving millions of people with pre-existing conditions to fend for themselves.
You know, it was never a perfect system, but there is a lot that's working, and I hope that we're able to keep those things that are working and build on it rather than break them down.
Republicans and the Trump administration claim the law is imploding, but last year's enrollment only dipped by 3.8%, and even the repeal of the individual mandate has not led to the catastrophic death spirals that critics predicted would happen.
The San Francisco Chronicle reports firefighters made small but promising headway Monday on the two main fires in Northern California. Nobody was prepared to say the danger was over as the flames in Redding and near Clear Lake were being beaten away from homes and into wilderness areas. The Chronicle reports the worst of the threat remained in the resort towns on the western edge of Clear Lake. The fire surged to within a mile of the city of Lakeport before being shoved back another mile by an army of fire crews armed with water-dropping helicopters. With multiple wildfires raging out west, some are asking, can the Forest Service cut down on the ballooning costs of suppression? Cassandra Mosley, a research professor at the University of Oregon, says it's largely out of the agency's control. Climate change has created more burn days. Development has pushed into fire-prone areas, where firefighting is especially costly. And the Forest Service has had to create a workforce dedicated solely to battling blazes. Mosley adds that focusing on fire suppression keeps the agency from reducing the fuels that drive the fires.
The landscape has more trees and more shrubs in it, and that makes fires burn more severely when they do burn. Those kinds of dynamics are really coming together to make fire more dangerous when it happens, particularly to people, and so that drives up costs.
Firefighting costs exceeded a record $2 billion in 2017, including more than $450 million in Oregon. Right-to-work laws do not bring jobs and, in fact, reduce wages, Mary Sherman reports. That's according to new research.
The laws say that even workers covered by union contracts don't have to pay anything toward the cost of getting and keeping the contract. Supporters argue that states with the laws see job growth because employers are drawn by their business climate. Former U.S. Labor Department chief economist Heidi Shierholz is now with the Economic Policy Institute. She says they found the laws don't increase employment, but do depress pay at the existing jobs.
What we find is that right to work will not create jobs, but it will hurt wages of middle class workers.
Next week, the Kentucky Supreme Court will hear a challenge to the state's right to work law, which was passed in 2017. Labor unions claim the law is discriminatory and forces them to represent workers who choose not to pay union fees.
And finally, Eric Tikhonov tells us the death of a calf among the Northwest's iconic southern resident orcas is highlighting a grave situation that the whales are in.
The newborn calf, part of a pod that migrates through Puget Sound known as J-Pod, died last week. Its mother has been seen carrying the calf since then. Rob Crable, Northwest representative with Defenders of Wildlife, says the endangered southern residents have struggled to reproduce, with numbers down to 75, the lowest in three decades, and this latest death is a major blow.
It could have been something really exciting, and it could have been a cause for celebration, but instead, it's a cause for sorrow, and it's a reminder of just how imperiled these whales are.
Crable is part of a working group informing the Southern Resident Orca Task Force convened by Governor Jay Inslee in March. This tragedy now is the backdrop for the group's conversations on saving the whales. Crable says it's important to get the whales more salmon and reduce pollution and noise from ships. Dr. Deborah Giles, a killer whale biologist at the University of Washington, has been following J-Pod in the wake of the death and says it's taken an emotional toll on her to watch the mother grieving over the past week.
Advocates say the changes need to be made to how rivers are managed, possibly including the removal of dams so that salmon can thrive again in the Northwest. They add that something big has to be done in the next 5 years to save these orcas. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.